As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Hour number two on a Monday, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. It is draft week. First round on Thursday, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Second and third rounds on Friday. We'll be broadcasting live from Flowery Branch.
Yeah, man.
From the Falcons headquarters on Friday, as we always do traditionally. The Friday after the first round, more than likely we'll talk to Terry Fontenot,
yeah,
as we normally do. In years past, we have talked to the draft picks if it works out, mm-hmm, or Dukes and Bell will. Sometimes we talk to the head coach,
right,
from the college that the draft pick went to. But Friday will be fun getting to be up there and react to what they do.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's the ramp up of lying until Thursday when the truth will be told, mm-hmm, you know, and there's still a lot of rumors out there. The one biggest thing you'll see now is possible veterans being used for trade.
Yeah, that's starting to start.
There's a guy here that's the backup quarterback.
Now, you said that Adam Schefter had a
they're talking
report
about the Falcons. Obviously, they don't want to pay Kurt all that money. They're asking maybe if a team will take on some of the money.
Okay.
Now, that's something I never heard before. I was trying to think of another player who that's probably happened to, where a team takes on not all of the salary, but some of it, you know, in the trade. I was like, well, if you trade for them, they're supposed to take on all the salary.
I also, like, you how know? Do you can just negotiate who takes on what?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm sure there's a way.
Right.
If Kurt restructures or something like that and everything like that. Like, they're still going
to. We'd only like to pay him about half of that. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
All right.
Like, and that's something where Kurt has to, like, take a pay cut maybe or something like that. What's weird.
There's one thing Kirk's not going to do.
He's not giving away no money.
Not going to be that.
Yeah, and so that would be an interesting thing. But there's all kinds of veterans players out there. I saw Trevor Etienne's name in some of things as far as being moved. But, I mean, those are things you look for more or less leading up to the draft that are going to be made day of. It's not going to be made Wednesday or Thursday or something like that. It'll be made on the day of the draft. So you got to look out for those. And, you know, who's at the green room? I know we talked last week about Jackson Dart not going to go to the draft now, but Jalen Milroe is still going to be there. So does his agent know something that we don't know as far as teams maybe going back? Because he is a candidate for a team to trade back in the first round to get.
Jackson Dart is a name that I've heard a lot more over the last week or so. Just about various teams, and it could be lies, you know, because everything between now and the draft, you got to, you know, kind of look at both ways, because it very easily could just be a smokescreen. But Daniel Jeremiah was on his podcast, kind of not personally raving about Jackson Dart, but raving on behalf of the Giants about Jackson Dart, like giving the idea that obviously not at number 3, I think, obviously, right? But who knows? Like, quarterbacks never know, but probably not. But maybe them trading back into the end of the first round to take him or something like that. But, yeah, like, he's the name more than any in the first round that I've heard more kind of buzz about just on podcasts and reading and stuff for the last couple of days.
Well, I think, you know, you look at where the Giants are. Do you have is there a player that can save your job? Is the potential, if you say you take Jackson Dart, does the Moore family look at it from a standpoint where, like, okay, we see something? Because if they draft him, He's going to play this year.
If they draft him, the expectation as far as like wins and losses is probably a little lower than if Russell Wilson's the starting quarterback.
But that's what I'm saying. So does Russ playing well, and it's to a point where he's playing well, but you're losing games, do we got to go see the young guy? Because if the young guy comes in and looks good and say we start winning games, this might allow us to keep our job.
Could, yeah. Look, if Russell plays and they lose games, they're all getting fired.
Right.
Like, that's what it is. If Russell plays and they win games, then who knows?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, there's still that other side of, I don't know, maybe we can extend Russ and he's our guy for the next couple of years. Like, I don't think that's what's going to happen based on what he's looked like the last handful of seasons. But I don't know. Like, if I'm thinking about guys that are going to save my job and I'm the Giants and I'm drafting third.
Because it's not going to be Abdul Carter's not saving his job.
Yeah, no, but he's, like, the best guy that's going to be there.
Yes.
And if Travis Hunter's there, which he probably won't be, but maybe he will be, like, I'm not. The other thing is you can draft that guy and then trade back in to the end of the first round and get Jackson Dart. And then maybe you can have
These are all
ways.
Candidates for that.
You can kind of have it both ways. That's what I would probably do if I loved him like that, which, again, I'm not saying he's not he's obviously a good player. He's a really good quarterback, but I don't know if he's a save your job in his rookie season quarterback. But who knows? Stranger things have happened. Let's get to an NFL no huddle. But, like, if Travis Hunter's there at three.
You got to take him.
You got to take him.
Yes.
Just take him.
Yeah, don't even think about it.
Think
don't even think twice. Take him.
Just take the guy. If Abdul Carter's there at three.
You take him.
You take him. You put him on that defensive line, and you see if you can sack the other team's quarterback enough to keep you in ball games.
There we go.
That's what I would do.
Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it?
It really.
Yeah.
It really does.
That's why the Giants going to blank this up somehow.
Yeah. Do you think that, like, all the other stuff aside, like, because there's a lot of ins and outs of being in a front office and general manager and stuff like that as far as salary cap, understanding, and moving the money around and whatever, like all the other stuff. But do you think if they just took the advice of the two of us over the last 5 years that the drafts would have been better for the Falcons than they have been? I think so.
And everybody else.
I think so, too.
Us and everybody else.
I'm not saying I could be a general manager because there's a lot of other stuff that goes on. But I think if just let us draft, and then we'll be fine.
Seems like it.
You know?
But they need offense, Andy.
Huh?
They needed offense. They got a lot of young.
Oh, I thought you said they need offense. No, I was like, hang on a second.
They needed offense.
Hang on a second. We're fired already.
Needed.
We're fired already.
Needed. Yeah, needed offenses back then.
Yeah. Needed.
And so you got dynamic. You got guys. And I look at this thing from the Falcons and their recent draft picks. You got guys that you want to extend.
Three of them.
Yes. Yeah. You got those guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when you can do that on an offense or on a team that are homegrown players that you want to extend, you kind of hit a home run with it. If you extend, but also the winning aspect of it, because having good players and losing don't mean nothing.
Right. It's like, are they good?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because they haven't won much. And that first one's still kind of hanging around, unfortunately. Yeah. All right, let's hear Puka Nacua talking about how the 49ers window is going to close if they pay the quarterback.
I think
mid four.
A 45?
I think so. I mean, I think
if he does that, that'd be smart for him and them.
Yeah. I mean, I think he seems like a smart guy. I think they have a chance to still be in their window. And I think if he goes for a five, the window closes.
Who knew Puka talks so much?
Yeah, Puka loves to talk.
Puka's been on a lot of podcasts chirping.
Does he have his own podcast?
Ever since he got Cooper Kupp up out of there. You know? ever since he got Cooper Kupp up out of there.
Yeah, man.
He been bumping his gums a lot lately.
We've had a Puka Nacua podcast once a week for
the last
2 months.
Why does everybody want Brock Purdy to take less?
Because I don't think he's very good.
Okay, then. But I'm saying, why, if I'm Brock Purdy, am I going to take less?
You wouldn't, because you think you are really good.
I was Mr. Freaking Irrelevant, all right?
Yeah.
I still got a roommate.
Yeah, right.
Okay?
Yeah.
I got a two-bedroom apartment.
I'm going to get every single red penny or cent.
Because you.
How do we decide it was? Whatever. I'm getting every last dime that they'll pay me. Because I also, not only that, I also think I'm really good.
But Andy.
So I don't think I should take a discount.
Andy, think about all the players they were able to sign and extend because he was Mr. Irrelevant.
Sure.
No.
And now it's time to sign and extend me.
Now it's time to get me.
That's right.
I'm trying to get mine.
And I guess if I'm not very good, at least I have $200 million to go home
to. Exactly. But no.
The thing, like, all this talk is fine, but, like, Brock Purdy doesn't think that he should take a discount because Brock Purdy doesn't view himself as a discount player. He thinks he's a great quarterback.
Yes.
Which he should think.
He took him to the damn Super Bowl.
He sure did.
Yeah.
In overtime. And lost to Patrick Mahomes, who everybody loses to.
Man, please.
You know?
Man, please. I ain't standing phones on Brock Purdy. Let me get all of them.
Now, I agree with him. Like, I wouldn't pay Brock Purdy $50 million. Are you crazy?
Yeah, me either.
But if I was Brock Purdy, you got to be kidding me.
But I'm asking. Well, yeah, I wouldn't either.
Hey, Ryan Ramczyk, who has not played a lot lately.
No, he's not.
But has said he's not playing anymore. He has officially announced that he is retiring from the game of football. That was a nice career he had.
Yeah, beat up. I mean, they had some good ones. Him and Tyron Armstead, who also said he was retiring. Everything good for them. I mean, you had three guys that were really good players. None of them are on the level of Tyron Smith, but they both were really good players, man. So, yeah, good luck to you, man.
All right, let's hear Andrew Berry. He's the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, because when their owner said what he said about Deshaun a couple weeks ago, we were like, well, that's the wrap for Deshaun in Cleveland. Deshaun said he's trying to get back. So here's Andrew Berry responding to that.
It's too early to say. I can say that Deshaun's done a great job of rehabbing. He's been in every day. He's progressing, and that's really our focus, but it's just too early to say.
Nothing against Cleveland, but can I go rehab somewhere else?
No kidding.
Yeah, can I go?
They got rehab facilities
everywhere.
But isn't that how he got hurt, doing stuff somewhere else?
Probably.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean.
But he also, doesn't he kind of have to do that in order to get all the money?
No, yeah, yeah.
Yes,
you have to be at all those different things. They're hoping he don't play this year.
Oh, yeah. Look, their owner said what he said in the hope that he never plays for the Browns again.
And now, even if he is healthy, I don't think he's going to play again.
The wrench is if he wants to play again. Because there was a part of me, and I don't know the guy, obviously, but there was a part of me that just kind of looked at the way the last handful of years went. It was like, you know what? Maybe that's that.
Yep.
Maybe that's that. But he said, it was on social media last week or the week before, that he's training hard to come back and be better than ever and all that kind of stuff. So,
oh, sounds so pretty.
Sure, but if he really does want to do that,
he's going to have to do somewhere. I don't think he plays.
How are they going to move him?
I don't think he plays another down in Cleveland.
I feel very confident with that.
Yes, I think it's one of the things where, and he said it, and I love how he said it was a whole organizational decision to sign Deshaun Watson. No, it was not. It was you and D. All right, it was you and D.
Yeah, you're the one that writes the checks, man.
Okay, it was you and D. Stefanski didn't want to get into all this, but yet he has not performed, and he's injured, like you said. Now they went outside Joe Flacco. I still think they're in a position to get another quarterback on their roster and go for it, because Joe Flacco going to the season, man, that's about as bad as I know. The last time he was there, comeback player of the year.
Yeah, come on,
I get all that. Come on, man.
Even that was 2 years ago.
Come on now,
for a guy who was already 2 years past it.
Come on.
Then. That's as bad of a quarterback situation as Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And Pittsburgh has as bad of a quarterback situation as you'll see going into a year. Yeah. Now, they still have the draft. I'd be shocked if they don't come away from the draft with a quarterback.
I'm just figuring out how they're going to get it, because if Shador drops, like some people are predicting, they got to go get him. Now, how do you move up without a two this year? Because you trade that away for.
That's right.
Yeah, you trade that away for DK Metcalf.
Yeah, so that doesn't make them a fun trade partner for the Falcons at all. Because you need – if the Falcons are moving back in the first round of the draft, they need assets this year.
Yes.
It's to get more picks this year.
Yes.
And if the Steelers don't have that second rounder this year, like, look, future picks would be great too, but you need as many picks in the top three rounds this year as you can get.
Right.
Right now you only have two of them, first and second.
First and second.
No third.
And now you got to – it's crazy, because if you're going to move back – and most of the time when teams are coming up like that, it's for a quarterback.
Yep.
Especially that late in the draft. Mm-hmm. You know, it's usually a quarterback when you're talking about moving multiple picks.
The Falcons are kind of in the perfect spot for a team to come up and get one of those quarterbacks.
Right.
Though, right? Because I think, obviously, Cam Ward's going to go early.
Yes.
And then it just kind of – it all depends on what happens after that.
Andy, are you giving up stuff like that to get one of these quarterbacks?
Not me.
I don't know, man. I don't see it.
To me, there's not that much of a difference between. I think Shador is really good. I would take Cam's kind of up there.
But would you give up future? And I'm talking about high future.
No.
I can't do it for any of them, even for Cam.
I would hope he felt. No, I wouldn't do that either.
Yeah.
But if I'm the Titans or if I'm up there and he's there, I would, you know, I don't have to give up to get him. But I would wait till 21. And if Shador falls to me, great.
Hawks just did what?
The Hawks just relieved Landry Fields of his duties as general manager. A press release that just came out. Ansi Salah has been promoted to general manager, will oversee day-to-day operations.
Ooh. Okay.
All right.
So we're going to take a minute here. We're going to process that.
Yeah.
And then we're going to come back and talk about that.
Oh.
Landry Fields out as Hawks general manager. All right. Sports Radio 92.9.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Soda. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Game. Yeah, so there you have it.
Yeah.
Breaking news here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. We always complain we don't get any.
Yeah, man.
And then we get some. It's always bad. Can we get some good breaking news?
Like, I don't, maybe
maybe people think this is good.
Like
actually.
They traded something?
The Hawks have announced that they're moving on from general manager Landry Fields. Landry Fields has been fired. Now, he was the only general manager of the Hawks for a minute.
Yes.
Like, because Travis Schlenk was a general manager not all that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the second GM that they've moved on from in... If my math is right, in three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of turnover in a front office. Ansi Salah is the interim general manager, or is he going to take over?
He's taking over as general manager.
Ansi Salah, who had been with the team last year. They hired him from Golden State,
yes.
And he was an assistant general manager.
Now,
so they hired his replacement, and then he worked with him for a year.
Now,
yeah.
Andy, remember when they brought in Landry?
Yes.
To be the assistant general manager.
To Schlenk. Yeah.
Then it was all these questions. Blah, blah, blah. Did they sabotage him?
Who?
Landry. Meaning this. Is he the scapegoat? Is he the scapegoat so they could? Because he didn't hire this new dude. How do you say his name, Andy? He's like, I won't butcher.
Ansi Salah.
Okay. They didn't hire Salah. I'm assuming that Landry didn't hire Salah,
well,
right?
He was the GM when they hired him. And then when I just read a press release of when they brought Salah in last May,
uh-huh.
Landry was quoted in it talking about what a great track record he has and how excited they are to have him as a part of the team. So, look, I mean, I would assume no.
Yeah, exactly.
I would assume Landry Fields probably viewed himself as enough
right.
to be the general manager
right.
of the team.
Right. When somebody else hires your assistant.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not good.
Just look at the history of this franchise
yes.
over the last, I don't know, 6 years or so. Whenever they bring in someone to be your assistant, Nate McMillan for Lloyd Pierce,
mm-hmm.
fired, took over your
mm-hmm.
job. Landry for Travis Schlenk, mm-hmm. fired, took over his job. Ansi Salah for Landry Fields, mm-hmm. fired, took over his job. Like, they're basically telling you, in about a year from now,
yeah.
this guy's going to take your job.
But that's what I said. That goes back to my
reason. A lot of instability, though.
That's
a lot of moving ground for a franchise to try to build upon.
That's why I'm asking the question is, is this a scapegoat move? What did Landry do? Landry didn't get hurt.
Right.
He didn't go out there and put through the banana and Jalen Johnson slipped and hurt his shoulder.
Yeah.
Or anything like that.
No,
he brought in adamant replacements at the last minute to try and get these things. Moved DeAndre Hunter. You know, he kept you where you ultimately want to be, as Tony Ressler has shown us, under the aprons.
Yeah, they didn't pay any tax.
They didn't pay any tax or anything. So why this move?
I don't know. It's a good question. Now, the idea of scapegoating is not something that I thought this season was going to require,
because
I thought they felt good about it. Like, honestly, I thought that there was like a positivity coming from the Hawks about the youth and everything. Because we talked about this in the first hour.
Right.
I was like, you can't sell me on everybody being young if everybody who's young is not showing me that they're really good. Because there's a lot of teams that go from young to good really fast in the NBA. Like, it's not the NFL. It's not Major League Baseball where it takes years and years for someone to come up. Like, you get the right young guys and you put them together. Like, you're the Houston Rockets, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With a good coach and a vet or two, you
yes.
know what I mean? Like,
Agreed.
There's a lot of young teams right now, younger teams than the Hawks, who are playing basketball right now.
They need a vet like that.
That's absolutely
yes.
right.
Yes.
They absolutely
yes.
need a vet. There's
yes.
no question
yes.
that this
yes.
team
and
needs
a vet. Now you're talking about no...
Yeah, no, we don't.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
got too many
yeah.
strengths.
Yeah, okay. <All right>.
Too many strengths.
But no, I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the scapegoat part about it is like, the instability, because that's why I actually say, is this Tony Ressler, is this his son's man right here?
Not from,
from what you from, not from what you sense. You don't get like that. So you brought in this guy to replace Landry to do what? Like, what do you trust this guy with that you didn't trust Landry with?
Right. That's a great question. And you also just have to think about, like, in terms of the tenure that Landry Fields had. Like, I almost feel like I'm going to walk back some of what I said in the first hour.
No. Which was,
I'm not walking back, but I'm just saying, like, he inherited a pretty like, gummed up situation with, as far as I understand, he wasn't the one that did the DeJounte thing. That was the end of the Schlenk era, right? So,
but then it seemed like we were talking about that's why Schlenk was gone.
Schlenk didn't want to do it. Like,
yeah, Schlenk didn't want to do it.
And just take one step back from this conversation, and then we'll dive back into all the specifics of it, which, again, the Hawks have fired Landry Fields as their general manager. That's the breaking news of the hour. Landry Fields is out of the front office of the Atlanta Hawks. Ansi Salah is taking over as general manager. He had been the assistant GM. He was in Golden State before that. I think that he was a member of the Spurs organization prior to that as well. So he has a nice resume. But let me just say one thing really quickly before we dive into the speculative part of it. Like, every time something happens with this organization over the last 5 to 7 years, there's about 5 different versions of the story that come out, right? The end of the Schlenk stuff, the DeJounte trade, the John Collins thing, even the Trey Luka draft night decision, all the way back to that. Like, there's always – so we don't know. I'm not in the front office. You're not in the front office. We're not in these rooms knowing what these conversations are that are actually happening. What I do know is – every time something happens, you get 50 different versions of it, which is like, where's the voice? Like, where's the voice of leadership and, like, definition for who this basketball team is and who this group is? And to me, this is just kind of another example of maybe it is a scapegoat. Maybe it's a passing of the buck or whatever. But it's just, it's further instability.
Yeah.
Like, they've been incredibly unstable for almost the entire wrestler ownership, and this just continues that.
Well, I mean, when you talk about the leadership, obviously the ownership and all those things, but this is what this Sportsology group, that's what they're in charge of right now. Because what they're in charge of right now is they're trying to find a president of basketball operations.
Right.
So I'm assuming he's going to be the guy that you're talking about that's going to be over everything right now. That's going to be over the GM, coach, everything like that. Who is this guy? I don't know. Did they have one previous? Because it was Schlenk.
Travis Schlenk
It was Schlenk. I remember that.
Yeah.
And then they took that from him.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't Bud that too?
Uh-huh,
took it from him. So now they're – so this title, whatever, was not existent with Landry Fields, I'm assuming.
Yeah, as far as I understand, they've operated without a president of basketball operations the last handful of years.
Okay.
So you want a basketball czar.
Okay.
I will say, again, one aside, let us – do that.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to be the person that hires the person that gets all the blame or the credit.
Yeah. Like, and I still get a check.
Yeah. And I get the, what do they call that? What's that thing when you bring in somebody from the outside to, like, help your company out and then they get to leave before
a consultant? Consultant.
That's the ultimate dream.
Yes.
To be a consultant.
Yes.
The Andy and Randy consulting firm would be happy to help you with your president.
Where's Jerry West at? Jerry West still around?
Somewhere hanging out.
Yeah, see if Jerry want to come to Atlanta.
He's still furious about that that HBO doc that they made. Now they're going to search, which I think that's good as long as they make the right hire. But you need somebody who's going to be the stabilizing leadership voice in that organization, in that front office, to be like, you know.
Who is it? But that's what I'm saying. Now, you got this guy coming in. Now, is he in charge of doing what he wants? Does he like Quentin? Does he like Coach Quinn? Want Coach Quinn?
Maybe Quinn will be the guy. You never know. Maybe Quinn Snyder will be the president of basketball operations.
And head coach?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I know that there was, again, back to, like, the murmurs and smoke when things go down. Like, when Quinn took the job, part of the rumblings about getting him off the beach to take this job.
A lot of power.
Yeah, and sort of increased power over time. So I don't know if that's what this ends up being or not. I will say, like, if they are scapegoating means you're unhappy with the situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
They should be unhappy with the situation.
Yes.
The team hasn't been good.
But that's what I'm saying. Okay, I understand that part. But why is Landry out?
Right. Because I think Landry's actually kind of cleaned up the mess pretty good.
He has.
Right? Like, he traded DeJounte for Dyson Daniels, who's like a big piece of what this team's going to be going forward.
Yeah.
They made the decision to go with Reese Hoshea. Now, they had the number one pick, so, you know, you want to get the right guy, but it seems like they made the right pick in the draft as well. I mean, they extended Jalen Johnson. He's not responsible for drafting Jalen Johnson, but he's in part responsible for the development or helping the development of it. I just feel like roster-wise, not wins-loss-wise, but roster-wise, they're in a little bit of a better situation right now than they were when he took over.
I mean, there was
not like a way better situation, but, I mean, but just, a little bit better.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I keep – and is he being held responsible? Is the right person being held responsible for this team? And I don't say underachieving when I think about this basketball team. Right. They're right where I said they would be.
They're actually a little better than I thought that they were going to be.
Yeah, but a little better still.
Right. This, again, my opinion of what they were going to be versus what they are is irrelevant for the purposes of what they're doing as far as hiring and firing. It's the second straight year they're not in the playoffs.
Yes.
So something had to give. And we said in the first hour, are you starting to look at Quinn Snyder a little bit different given that he was brought in with all the accolades and the hype, and they've missed the playoffs 2 years in a row? Turns out we were asking about the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Because we literally today in the 11 o'clock hour, we're like, you look at Quinn funny because of the two playoff misses. And the Hawks are like, no, we look at Landry funny.
Yeah.
We're firing him.
And so if that's the case, when we talked about Bud being the president, I didn't think of that until just then when you said they did offer Quinn a lot of different stuff for him to come off the beach of Dominican Republic to be the head coach.
Costa Rica.
Costa Rica, I'm sorry, thank you. Not just a hefty salary.
Which it is.
But also control in certain things. Was it a thing where I don't like working with this guy?
I don't know.
It's me or him. Well, y'all paid me a lot more than y'all are paying him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. And then when you also look at it through the lens of, all right, so what are you doing to keep your star happy, right? I mean, the main thing you can do to keep him happy is to extend his contract this offseason.
No doubt.
That'd probably make him really happy because that would be a couple extra $100 million in the bank account.
Is that a strategy where they're like, okay, we probably have to pay him. Let's get a new guy in here, a new voice to say it and put it on him. They're like, we just want to see.
Or
I don't know.
Maybe. And again, this is all just kind of like spur of the moment, spitballing.
Yes.
Theories as far as why they would do this, because we don't have an answer as of yet, beyond just the fact that they've missed the playoffs two straight years in the 2 years that he was the full-time general manager. Maybe there's a disagreement on what to do with Trey. Maybe Landry has a theory on what they should do, and I don't know, maybe he's dead set on this isn't working, we need to go a different direction.
Could be.
Or maybe he's dead set on, hey, we got to pay this guy and keep this intact and build with it. And because here's the thing, like this is true. One of the guys in the front office is the son of the owner.
Mm-hmm.
So his opinion is going to hold a little bit more weight.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like if he wants to do something different than the general manager does with Trey,
who's going to get the
guy who has the same last name as the guy who signs the checks probably is going to be the guy who wins the argument.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And that could be it.
And if that's what it is, and again, I don't know if that's what this is or not, but like it's always hard when the son of the GM is part of the front office and he's the son of the owner is a part. Just make him the GM. Like if that's what you need to do, just do it.
Could that be a case where it is him? Could it be a case him and Landry got pushed out just like how Slank got pushed out? I mean, there's too many similarities to both of these situations why this guy's been the owner of this team.
And one constant.
Yes,
yeah,
him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
so
him.
Hello, man. I was kind of coming around on Landry Fields a little bit.
Oh, no, I'm going to do it. I ain't gonna lie to kick it, man.
Like, I thought he had an okay year this year.
I don't think
as a GM, I thought he had an
GM,
okay year.
Was this a fireable offense how this year played out?
Right. And, like, what if they would have beat the Heat in overtime on Friday night? Would you have kept him? Like, that was the kicker?
The deciding factor?
Yeah. That feels
because Yang
short-sighted.
Because Yang was your second best player?
Which, by the way, he traded to get him.
Yeah.
Like, if he didn't, all right. Anyway, Landry Fields is out as the general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. Ansi Salah is the new general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. The search is underway for a new president of basketball operations. And again, I'll throw my name in there. I'll take that job. I'll do it. Me and Randy will do it. If you want, co-presidents. Vice president?
100.
We'll do it for cheaper than the other person. All right, we'll be right back with the Back Page with Bo on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
There's the music.
Oh, yeah, we knew he'd be getting here.
We knew he'd be. He's been over there giddy for an hour and 40.
Yeah, there's a lot of wrestling on TV. So you know when there's wrestling on TV, there's definitely going to be wrestling on the Back Page. We'll get there in just a few minutes. R.I.P. Jerry West, my bad. I didn't know. Jerry West passed last summer?
Yes. But you know, I said, if he's still around.
You did. Yeah. And then I was like, I is still around. He's mad about that HBO documentary.
Rest in peace, Jerry.
Yeah, last June, he passed. He lived a nice, long, full life. Did. Very successful in the game of basketball. So he's off the list. Scratch him off the list of potential team presidents for the Hawks. As the Hawks now are underway in their search for a new president of basketball operations, Landry Fields has been fired today. Anssi Salla is the general manager. He had been the assistant general manager. He's been promoted to general manager. We'll see if that is what happens throughout the whole offseason into next season. But I guess the big fish now is the president.
Yep. They were looking for a president to come in and right the ship, I guess be the leader of the organization and everything like that. Have no clue who that's going to be.
No clue.
I mean,
I can't even begin to speculate.
I mean, either. Like, which guy is it? You know, ever since we then just brought back Mr. Jerry West and put him back down.
Yeah, my bad, Jerry.
Yeah. But
that's the logo.
They have and that's why before break I mentioned, okay, whoever they bring in for this position, because it seems like they're scouring. They got the firm to find him and all those different things.
Anytime you
now
fight,
when he
hire
comes
a firm.
In when he comes in to do this, is he like get to pick like the GM who he wants to work with? Does he get the head coach he wants to work with? Or Andy, is this a smoke screen to be like, you know what, let's just let Coach Quinn be it?
Never know.
Yeah.
You never know. I think all that stuff is legitimate. I think it's all on the table. Just like any organization, when you hire new leadership, they might not like the current leadership that's in place.
Exactly.
So who knows? Maybe the person that they bring in isn't a huge Quinn Snyder fan and they want to go a different direction. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of looking at different presidents of basketball operations in the NBA right now and just kind of like, all right, so like in Boston, obviously Brad Stevens is that guy. Like he has the power. He hires, he fires. He's the person that does that. I mean, a lot of like Nico Harrison in Dallas, he's obviously been in the news a lot. Calvin Booth in Denver, he's the one that just moved on from their head coach. Trajan Langdon. I didn't know Trajan Langdon was the president of the Pistons.
Yeah,
good for him.
I knew that. Now, to go back to the Denver guy because they fired their guy.
Denver?
Didn't Denver fire?
Oh, did they fire Calvin Booth?
I thought they fired Calvin along with Mike Malone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's out there.
Yeah.
And yeah, like Pat Riley obviously is the president of basketball operations in Miami. Just like, because I think a lot of times with stuff like this, people are like, well, what is that? Who is that person? What do they do?
Right. Because all you hear about is a GM.
Yeah.
You hear the GM.
They're the GM's boss.
Yes.
Basically, it would be the Rich McKay, not anymore because Rich McKay is now more on the United side. But you know what I mean? For years, Rich McKay was the president of the Falcons. Football operation, it would be the guy that's the conduit to the owner. It's wrestler, it's the president of basketball operation, and then it kind of trees from there with general managers and head coaches and all kinds of different stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it would ultimately be the most powerful person in the organization not named Tony Wrestler.
Right.
Big job.
Yeah, it's a great job.
It's a big job.
Where is it? Is this guy on the is he over at the building right now?
Good question. Yeah. Here's the thing that I like about it. Like I think Landry Fields actually, like, in terms of the situation that he inherited and the presumed financial constraints that he has, that we think that he has, given them not wanting to go into the tax and all that, they did an okay job for the year. Not a great job. They're not in the playoffs, so I'm not like, you know, I'm not pounding the table saying that they've made a mistake, but I thought he did an okay job this last calendar year. I like that they're signifying that they're unhappy with the direction of the organization, because so am I.
Okay.
How could you not be?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
But did you, as the owner, do what you need to do for that to happen?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
But you know what?
All right.
Can't fire me.
No, exactly. Exactly.
Can't fire me. I write the checks. All right, let's get to the back page with
Bo. Exactly. So.
Brought to you by Solomon Brothers Jewelry. Go to one of their three locations or shop online at SolomonBrothers.com or on Instagram at Solomon Brothers. Hello, Bo.
Before we get to the spectacular that was WrestleMania 41, it was a pretty cool weekend, at least, you know, by my life, with the Braves winning three games. And if I can speak for just one very second on this whole Ronald Acuña, Jerry Kelenic thing, like, to make this simple for folks, all right, there absolutely is a standard. All right, if you get caught or if you're hot dogging, you should be benched. I don't know who you're going to bench Jerry Kelenic for in that situation, Eli White maybe.
Yeah, fair.
But look, does the A student and the D student have the same standard or expectation? The answer is no. Nobody looks at Jared Kelenic saying, ooh, I want to model my game after that guy. They expect that he may not even be on the team in a couple of weeks if he keeps hitting 180. All right, Ronnie had every right to be mad for a second, although that happened him 6 years ago when he was like 20 years old. All right, and he's the MVP. He is looked at as that. Jared Kelenic is not.
So hold on, Bo. Hold on. So it's okay to do that?
No, it's not. I didn't say it was okay.
Oh, I'm trying to figure out what you're going there.
I just hope that Snit doesn't see this in retrospect and then play Eli White tonight instead of Jared Kelenic. But Eli White's probably better anyway. Who cares?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
yeah, I'm saying, like.
I get what you're saying. Like, if you're trying to send a message to the organization, you bench the star loafing, not the utility outfielder.
Baseball take like 30 seconds. And this, I'm not saying this happened, but what if I'm Snit and I'm in the dugout because I've been there for 4 hours and I have to use the restroom or something? When are you going to go use the restroom? Probably while Jared Kelenic's at bat.
But that's why I said he couldn't have. If it's
not a big deal that he didn't see the play.
Oh,
and sure? If Snit says that he talked to the guy and the situation's resolved, we need to take him at his word and believe that.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think it's a big deal.
No.
If Ronald Acuna's walking around 6 years later mad about the way that
But no, that's why
treated.
I said when that's why I said he couldn't have seen it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
he
what
said
I said.
He didn't see it.
Yeah, he couldn't have seen it.
People getting all, why didn't he just not watching the baseball game? Like, this is what
that was
30,
my thought process. Like, why wouldn't he watch it?
30-second play of a baseball game. Maybe he was getting a piece of gum or something. Like, we don't know.
I need Snit watching the games.
Yeah. He watches the games. Trust me.
But he want to watch
he
it
He sits
then.
On the step and watches the games. Maybe he had to. I don't know.
I need Snit watching the games, Bo. I need him dialed in.
If he why has to, isn't Brian Snicker paying attention to break? Come on now.
He needs to, you know.
I just thought he was watching.
You got to pee during
he watches.
Breaks.
What breaks? There's your break.
Between
when Jared Kelenic's at bat. I don't know if that's what he was doing. I'm just saying that it could have had something like that. Could have been going for another piece of gum or something like that. You never know. Hey, Devils versus the Buford Wolves. And if you know anything about, you know, any schools in this area, you know Buford is the top of the line. They're the one that bring in the athletes. They're the one that has tuition. And their teams are always good, anywhere from T-ball all the way up to them. Well, we beat them on Saturday.
There we go.
Juice Johnson goes 2-for-2. 3 RBIs, pitches 2 innings, strikes out 4. But the best thing about the whole game itself, she got her first strikeout using a changeup on Saturday.
What?
So, they're 10 years old for the most part. A lot of them, if you slow the ball down, it's going to help them because they can't hit faster pitching.
Right, it's going to be easier.
So, we use a team, and we've used it a couple times, and it's gotten hit a couple times, and she's thrown it for a ball a few times. This team, though, you know, most of the girls up and down their lineup are good. Buford has to have an expectation of having good sports teams. So we knew that at some point we'd be able to use it. She gets up 0-2 in the first inning that she pitches versus one of their best hitters. And I signaled to her. We really didn't have a signal or sign for it because we don't use it that often. I signaled to her to use the changeup. Yeah. She threw the changeup in same arm motion. That ball hung up there. Such a beautiful pitch.
Way out
Absolute
in front of it.
Absolute filth. Way out in front. Gets the strikeout. She's grinning from ear to ear.
Love it.
Game ends. She's on the mound. They could have scored all 5 runs in the bottom of the 4th and beat us. We're only up by 4. She lets a couple runs score. I think she walked one. Somebody got a base hit. She goes up 0-2 with 2 outs on the last hitter she faces. The park's a little quiet, so I look over at my bench and my parents, and I was doing the whole make some noise thing.
That's right there. That's right there here. Your mom and them came in town, right?
Yeah, they were.
Okay, yeah.
The whole crowd, they start making noise and cheering her on, and I'll be gosh darn if she doesn't get the freaking strikeout. The game ends just like that.
That's great.
Yeah, game chain, victory chain and everything.
That's amazing.
Also, did you see the line at PNC Park for the Paul Skeens bobblehead?
No.
No, but this I saw the picture.
I saw the picture that you
over.
Sent to us. Yeah.
They did get it. This line, and I've never been to PNC Park or Pittsburgh, but the bridge over the Allegheny is right behind the stadium.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The line for the Paul Skeens bobblehead goes out the door of PNC Park all the way across the bridge into downtown Pittsburgh.
Wow.
How many did she get?
One of the lines.
How many did she get?
They each got one, so four of them went.
Okay.
So she got one, and then Caitlin, her daughter, got one that's going to be mine. And the Pirates come into town to play the Braves the last series of the season in September. So I'm going to see if I can get one signed.
I bet you'll be able to.
20,000 bobbleheads given away. It was probably more people than what we line up at Truist. Although the line at Truist is not really a line. It's kind of just like a mob because of the battery being there. They did end up getting them, though, but she was worried. They only got to the stadium an hour before gates open. Tried telling her, you better make it 3, but mission accomplished.
A line that stretches across a bridge, though, just looks
That's nuts.
Cooler.
Yeah,
it looks better.
It does. I don't see how they kept them all single file like that, but you can look at the line.
Well,
you can find it online.
The people of Pittsburgh are an orderly bunch.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, they don't like their sports teams
Steel
very
City.
Much because Tara told me it was kind of heartbreaking watching that game unfold. Of course, Paul Skeens gets 0 run support. They lose 3-0. the fans are booing the players and chanting, sell the team. And she was like, I don't know how I'd deal with this if that was happening here.
They should sell the team.
They should sell the team. Yeah. Yes. Crappy ownership group. The fans are right in that situation. I agree with you. And then on to WrestleMania 41. 125,000 people packed the house over two nights, selling out Allegiant Stadium.
I saw the pictures.
Saturday night and Sunday night. It looked like an outdoor stadium.
Sorry, it was crazy.
It was nuts.
Yep.
George Kittle chugged a beer. Other people making appearances. Ava Max did the national anthem. O'Shea Jackson was in the house with a belt on his shoulder. Michael Che.
O'Shea Jackson, shoulder belt guy.
Yeah.
Shoulder belt guy.
Yeah.
Jelly Roll was there. He actually did the national anthem on night one. Lil Yachty was in the house. In Living Color brought out CM Punk, which was awesome.
In Living Color.
Cult of Personality.
Like the group?
The group, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, they sang Cult of Personality live.
Oh.
Slayer's guitarist was there, brought in Damian Priest. Biggest match of what y'all are probably watching on TV, and I wish I had a TV in here to watch it all, but John Cena's been on, PMS all morning long. John Cena breaks Ric Flair's record, becomes the world heavyweight champion for a record 17
times. That was going to be my question to you this morning, because Ric Flair was a 16-time champion in 91. Or something like that. I remember being a kid.
He's had that record for a long time.
Dude, he was 16 for a long time.
Yeah, and Cena only tied it a few years ago.
Yeah, for a long time, man. But I have a question.
Okay, me too. You go first.
Was he a good guy or a bad guy last night?
Oh, very much a bad guy.
He's a bad guy. Okay.
Travis Scott, also in the building.
Did he hurt somebody?
The Rock's not there. None of, you know, the Rock's little new entourage was there outside of Travis Scott. Halfway through the Rock and Cody Rhodes, Cena and Cody Rhodes match, theme music plays for Travis Scott. Travis Scott comes on with his own Cactus Jack belt because he has a Cactus Jack line of WWE clothing right now. Travis Scott does. Comes down to the ring with his own belt. Of course, him and Cody start jawing back and forth because Cody's like, I remember when you hit me in the face. Travis Scott ends up pulling a referee out of the ring at one point while Cody's trying to make a cover on John Cena. John Cena ends up hitting Cody Rhodes with the belt while the ref's out. John Cena wakes the ref up. 1, 2, 3, John Cena, 17-time champion.
Why does a step kind of always be so slow? When the referee get knocked out, it means that slow one.
So dramatic.
Yeah, man.
Dude. Because
they're still groggy from getting pushed into the ring.
Did it live up to your hopes?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. It was it was an atypical, here's how a heel wins a match in WWE with the outside interference and all that stuff.
But it was good, and it was like, it wasn't a disappointment or anything.
I thought both nights were great.
That's great. That was fun. That's awesome. All right, hey. Let's reward you just for listening to the program. Be caller number 6 right now. You're going to win a family 4-pack of tickets to the 40th anniversary of the Georgia Renaissance Festival. On the festival grounds in Fairburn, Georgia, open every Saturday and Sunday, and Memorial Day, Monday through June 1st, 2025. Family 4-pack of tickets to the Georgia Renaissance Festival.
Bo.
Courtesy of Andy and Randy.
You got your tickets?
Most specifically Randy.
I do not have tickets yet. I would love to win these, but I can't.
We'd probably get you some.
Probably get you some.
That'd be great. If anybody's listening.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get back into the big story of the day. There was breaking news this hour. The Hawks have made a move in their front office. We'll tell you exactly what it was coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.